I greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. A hearty good morning to all of you. It is good to be in your midst again and to share God's word with you this morning. I am glad that you have come to spend this hour together in worshiping our great Father in heaven. In Proverbs 8, verse 34, Solomon writes, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." In Proverbs 8, it is as though wisdom is speaking and calling people to draw close to hear what wisdom has to offer. Now, we know that true wisdom comes from God the Father. And so this verse teaches that the person who is longing for a teaching from God, the one who eagerly waits to hear from him, and with anticipation longs to hear God speak, this person will be blessed. And so I hope we have come this morning with a desire to hear God speak and to draw wisdom from his word. Let us open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Again, we realize that you are an all-seeing, all-knowing God, and there is nothing hid before your eyes. You understand the deepest things of our hearts. And Lord, you know the trials and the struggles we go through. You know the faith that we have in you. This morning, Lord, we come to you. As Proverbs says, we come to your doors, waiting for you to speak to us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to be in our midst, and may each one that has come with a longing receive a blessing from you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have entitled my message this morning, "The Heart Cry of Jesus." And the scripture text that I have chosen for this morning is from Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, I will read verses 4 to 18. Luke 8, verse 4 says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they which hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They and the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Thus far. Now Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all write about this parable. And in order to properly understand the parable, we must look at all three. These three mention the fact that many people were gathered together to hear Jesus' teaching. Often Jesus would teach in the temple, and the Pharisees and the scribes always found something to discredit Jesus' teaching. Yet it seemed like many people, they followed him, they heard him. And this time, it was by the seaside. Verse 4 says, much people came from every city. Mark says that the multitude was so great that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the multitude was on the shore. Jesus had many things to teach those who had a longing to hear him. And that is still the way it is in our day today. Jesus has a longing to teach, but he will teach those who have a longing to hear him. In Acts 2, verse 41, we read, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice that they gladly received his word. Not everyone receives God's word the same way. There are those who hear it, but they find fault with it. They do not recognize that it is valuable. It is just another person speaking. There are those who give it no deep thought. They hear it, but they spend no time thinking about it. There are those who hear it, and they know that it is meaningful, but they have their priorities on other areas of life because they value them more. But then there are those who recognize that Christ's teaching and his wisdom, the wisdom we may receive from him, is most precious. They are life-changing and they are life-giving. These are the ones that Proverbs 8, verse 34 calls the blessed man. And that is what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Now, I believe it is important that the sower does a good job of sowing the seed. But in this parable and teaching, Jesus focuses primarily on the reception of the seed sown. How is the word of God received? In verse 11, Jesus leaves us no doubt as to the meaning of the seed. He says the seed is the word of God. The seed is not a dead thing. God has given the seed life. Jesus used an illustration here that is easily for everyone to comprehend. He took something that we are well familiar with, and he used it to make a spiritual application. The word of God is sown. Sown in the Old Testament by the prophets, sown by Jesus during his earthly ministry, sown by his disciples after Jesus went back to heaven, and sown by pastors and Christians who are faithful to their calling of our day. But it isn't always fruitful. It wasn't always fruitful in Jesus' day either. And in this parable, Jesus explains why not. He says in verse 5 that some seed fell by the wayside. And he says, there it was trampled down, and the fowls came and devoured it. You know, when people hear the word carelessly, they treat it carelessly. And in reality, it is like it says in Matthew 7, verse 6, it is like a pearl that is cast before a swine. Or to the dogs, and they don't recognize its value. Jesus explains the meaning of this in verse 12. The seed that falls by the wayside falls on hard ground. It does not penetrate the soil. And the devil wastes no time, but takes the word of God from in their hearts. We must ask ourselves the question, what causes a hardened heart? There are many things that cause a hardened heart. But continual and unrepented sin causes the heart to grow hard. And Jesus gives an offering, or the scriptures give an offering in 1 John 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we live in known sin, and push aside the Holy Spirit and his admonishing, it will affect our conscience. And we will have a hardened heart. We will have a harder time knowing right from wrong. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 that God has revealed himself to his people. But when we don't give God room to work in our hearts, and we live continuously in sin, then there will come a time when God will give us over to a debased mind. And he will let us have our own way. If we continue to suppress the truth, our hearts will be hardened. Pride is also a cause of a hardened heart. When we think of a hardened heart, we think so often of Pharaoh. Oh, the tremendous proofs that witness God's powerful hand at work as he tried to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. He denied the sovereignty of the one true God. He thought he could do it on his own. Pride will make us think that we can have our own way, that our way is best, and thereby hardening our hearts toward God. Jesus said in verse 12 of our text that the devil taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. This tells us that these people that Jesus is talking about are not saved people. They have heard God's word, but outright reject Jesus as Lord of their lives. Friends, this is a very dangerous state to be in. Many Jews and Pharisees denied that Jesus was the Messiah, even though they saw his miracles. Even though they heard his amazing teaching, still they would not accept it. And sin blinded them to the point where they didn't even recognize that Jesus was doing miracles. And they didn't understand the mysteries of the kingdom because God withheld it from them. Lest they should believe and be saved. So we know that God's word brings faith, and that faith in Jesus brings salvation. But they did not accept. In verse 6, Jesus said, some seed fell among the rocks. Mark's gospel said it fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And so as soon as it sprung up, it was withered away because it lacked moisture. Jesus further explains this in verse 13, and he says, these people, they hear the word and receive the word with joy, but have no roots, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. When they are put to the test, and they feel the cost of following Jesus is too great, so they would rather let it go. What Jesus is saying here is that we need to be rooted and grounded deep into God's word. If we are not rooted, we will fall away from God and his word in times when we are tempted. And God's word will bring no fruit into our lives. When I think of this, I think of Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, the very first verse, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This verse speaks of stony places, places where there is not much earth to root down in. These are places of temptation where the ungodly are, where the sinners stand, and the scornful find their seats. But then in verse 2, he speaks the opposite. He says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In our text, Jesus makes it clear that God's word is not fruitful in those who have not put their roots down. In John 14, Jesus makes it very clear how important it is to abide in the vine, which is Jesus, to draw moisture from the true vine. And he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Verse 13 of our text ends in a sad note. Those who receive God's word into stony ground, in the end fall away from Christianity. In verse 7, Jesus said, "And some seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked out the seed." Jesus says further in verse 14, "These are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life." Friends, these are the things that are so very active in our day to day. Cares of life choke out God's word. Riches and pleasures are a hindrance to God's word. They are in this scripture compared to thorns. Thorns came into this world through sin and are the fruit of the curse. Thorns are overpowering. They are prickly, and they are extremely hard to work with. Hebrews 6 verse 8 says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt." These two are people who have heard the word, but they have other priorities in life. They are deceived by that which is temporal and short-lived. And verse 14 ends with the words, "They bring no fruit to perfection." But then in verse 8, Jesus said that some seed fell on good ground, and it sprang up and it bare fruit. This is the desire of every good farmer, and this is the desire of those who sow the word of God. Jesus says in verse 15, "These are they that hear the word also." They have an honest and good heart, a heart into which the seed can penetrate. In Matthew's gospel, it says, "He that heareth the word and understands it." In Mark's gospel, it says, "Such as hear the word and receive it." And in Luke's gospel, it says, "Having heard the word, they keep it." Remember those three. They understand the word, they receive the word, and they keep the word. Where the word of God is understood, and where the word of God is received, where the word of God is kept, that is where fruit is grown. Fruit brought forth with patience, Jesus said. Friends, why did Jesus talk about patience? Jesus helps us to understand that even though we receive the true word into our hearts, the fruit bearing doesn't always come without struggles or hardships. And friends, I want to point out to you that each one of us must be careful how we hear the word of God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Starting from verse 15. Now here it talks about the disciples. Maybe I'll start from verse 14. "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? As Jesus' own disciples, we must face the reality of having our hearts hardened. We must constantly remind ourselves what Jesus has done for us already, what he has promised to us in his word, and how he says he will be with us to the end of time. Just like a natural farmer has the reality of trials and struggles, so it is when the word of God falls into good ground and brings forth fruit, there are trials. The natural farmer has a reality of drought or of flood, of hail, of storm, of frost, and some other things. So also in our spiritual life, there is trials and persecutions. And we need patience to suffer the trials, and we need patience to endure to the end in well-doing. Plus, the fruit-bearing isn't the same for everyone. Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel, they both say that some seed brought forth 100-fold, some brought forth 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Luke only makes the distinction that the seed that fell on good ground brought forth fruit. Herein is the distinction made of the hypocritical Christian and the true Christian. It is in that of bringing forth fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. By their fruits you will know them. You know, we have in this portion of Scripture 4 different types of soil. The same seed fell on all of them, but the results were very different. And from a Christian perspective, deeply concerning. The seed that fell by the wayside was trampled and stolen away by the devil. That which fell among the rocks didn't get moisture and it withered away. That which fell among the thorns was choked and brought no fruit to maturity. Only that which fell into an honest and good heart was received and brought forth fruit. There's a few things that I want to point out that we find in Luke's Gospel. When Jesus spake this parable, he spake it to a great multitude. And when he had finished at the end of verse 8, it says he cried. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I want to ask you today whether you have heard Jesus' cry. Have you considered his cry? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Think about the cry of Jesus for a bit. Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to suffer and to die for the sins of mankind, so that we would not need to spend eternity in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He came so that his people would not have to live in fear and darkness of an unknown future. He came because he loved us and he had mercy on us. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus speaks plainly and he says, "If ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." And in Matthew 22, verse 4, Jesus invites people to come. He says, "All things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And you know what it says? "And they made light of it. And some went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise." The cares of this world were more important. And some of Jesus' servants, they mistreated shamefully, and some of them they slew. Friends, Jesus knew the heart of man when he spoke these parables. When he spoke of the four different soils, he knew exactly what was in man. And today he knows exactly what is in your heart and in mine. It was the love that he has for you and for me that caused him to cry, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you know that the cry of Jesus, these words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," they are found at least 12 times in the New Testament? I want to ask you today, when you hear the word of God, how receptive are we? Do we take it lightly? Do we turn a deaf ear? And turn with me to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, I'll start reading from verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. The words were spoken, but they were not received. God spoke because he loved them, he wanted the best for them, but they made their heart as hard as an adamant stone. And God said, to this point, now it will be to you what you have done to me. I have cried to you and you have not heard. Now you can cry to me and I will not hear. Friends, one thing we know, God's love is too great for him to keep his salvation a secret. It is made known. In verse 9 of our text, the disciples asked Jesus, what might this parable be? And Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables. The disciples, they had a longing to hear more from Jesus. They had a longing for the precious word of God. And they knew the true meaning of the parable. But those who rejected Jesus and his word, for them it was only a story, a timely story, with no spiritual meaning. Jesus said in verse 10 that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. You know, I often think of those words. It almost sounds like Jesus doesn't want everybody to understand. But friends, that is not the case. It is because they have hardened his heart toward what Jesus wants to speak. Jesus is saying the parable serves in two ways. For those who receive God's word, to them it reveals more of God's kingdom. But to them who lightheartedly reject the Lord and the word that comes through them, to them it serves to blind them even more. Now I want to close with the last two verses of our text. Luke 8, verse 17 and 18. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. God has a desire to speak it all. He has a desire to make all of it known to us, like he made it known to his disciples. It is no secret. Jesus loves us. He wants eternal life for us. That's why he came. But in verse 18, there is a warning. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. What Jesus is saying is, how do we perceive what he wants to speak to us? Do we allow it to fall on good ground so that it can bring forth fruit? Or do we take the word of God lightly?
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Shall we close in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you that you have left us the scriptures. And Lord, we know that you want to reveal it to us. That is why you gave revelation of this parable, that we would understand. Not only do we want to hear with our physical ears, but with our spiritual ears. Lord, may your word sink down into our hearts, and may it bring forth fruit. We pray, Heavenly Father, as you have given us opportunity to hear your word, to read your word, to meditate on your word, to hear your word at Bible studies, and to gather often to encourage one another in our faith. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would redeem the time you have given us. May the word be precious to each one of us. Lord, we pray that your word would bring forth fruit in our lives. Today, as we have looked into your word, we recognize that you give us an opportunity. You give us warning as to taking the word lightly. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would prepare our hearts to receive the good seed, the word of God, for your honor and for your glory. This morning, Heavenly Father, we think of all those who cannot be here, those who would love to be in church but cannot because they are sick. Lord, we pray that you would be near to them, that you would uphold them, that they would feel your presence and that they would prepare themselves to meet you. Lord, all of us will someday meet you face to face. Help us, Lord, that even when others are sick, we may take it as a warning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with those who are going through surgery. May you give the doctors wisdom and insight. Lord, we pray for your healing hand upon those who are sick. Tonight, or today, Lord, we pray also for those who are spiritually not well. We know there are those who have no longing, no hunger for the word. Lord, our prayer is that they would hear the word and receive it with a repentant heart. Lord, we bring all these things before you, knowing that you are a God who is able, and we thank you in advance for what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Oh, like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be near.
no idea why God wanted me to speak this portion of Scripture this morning. But it became very clear this time that is what I needed to speak on. It's not always like that. But I thank God that He gave direction. And I want to reiterate the cry of Jesus. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It doesn't matter whether we are young, in our teens, or we are older. God wants to give revelation. Will we hear His word? I thank you all for coming this morning. It is my prayer that the Lord will have encouraged you in your walk of faith, and that you would do as we sang in the last song, that we would be near drawn to our God. Shall we just bow for a closing benediction? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may depart, and may the peace of the Lord go with each one of you.